wraps up the weather for now. We'll be talking to Lewis Tillett in just a moment, and we'll be discussing his album, The Hanged Man, today. And from the album Back From The Sea, we'll play that track now, and then we'll be talking to Lewis about the rest of the album.
Down from the hill, like
Back from the Sea there from Lewis Tillett's album The Hanged Man. The album was recorded in Bangkok in July 2004 with a local engineer called O. It was released in 2005, and although the title may sound morose, the album features, and I quote, music as vital, beautiful, emotional and uncompromising as any in the history of Australian rock. This is Lewis embracing the very joyousness of a bright future.
Yes, well, there. If we can go back to talking about the previous album, Learning to Die, I didn't get a chance to mention in our last chat how that ended up. I was overseas performing, and it was an incredibly grueling tour. I was playing solo, and it was the only time out of literally many thousands of gigs that I'd turned up at a venue, and the very last show in Germany was unable to play through pure exhaustion, and that sort of left me with a bad feeling, because unlike say playing here in Australia. Okay, you can mess up a gig, and which is not good, but you can redeem yourself if you like, maybe the week later or before too long. But it was a small town. I'd never played it before. People had driven hundreds of kilometres, and I was laying on the couch and so exhausted that basically, if someone held a gun to my head and said, "Get up and play," I would have said, "Well, you know, they shoot horses, don't they?" I was just physically unable to do it. And from there, headed down to Greece and played another country, another audience, but an incredibly dreadful show, which normally I'd played great shows in Greece. It was I was so still exhausted. I was put on in almost like a dance nightclub with a support band, a sort of funk band, and everything was wrong. I was in a bad mood. Everything, you know, I thought, what a way to end up. And I've got a good friend over there, and once I'd overcome feeling bad about that, I thought, no, it can't end this way. And so I said to him, listen, in all of Athens, there must be a room that doesn't normally have music on, but are willing to have me or have someone play. And I said, I've got to do something to redeem myself. And he thought about it for a while, and he said, well, there's this little place called the Small Music Theatre. And he said, it's tiny. They basically teach music and experimental music upstairs and have small shows just for their students and teachers downstairs. But rarely do they put on live gigs. I said, it sounds perfect. And then walked into this little room and thought, this is just great. And the owner came down and he was chatting to our mutual friend, and he was convinced that I must be a Lewis Tillett impersonator. It sort of gave me ideas for the future. But he said that he couldn't believe that, you know, this guy's wanted to play in his little room. But I did, and ended up playing, I think, three shows that were just sensational. Then a bit later, the guys from the Dirty Three came down, and I caught up with them and played with them, and so it all ended on a positive note, and from there I was going on to record an album, which unfortunately never materialised. But I was going to stay there in Athens, or actually to be I'm not sure. I think I came to Australia for a very short period of time and up stumps and went back to Athens, got myself a little flat there, and I was meant to be recording an album on an island called Hydra, which is an island where Leonard Cohen's been living for decades, and he has a studio there. This is before he came out of retirement. And all of these since the Dirty Three, I'd caught up with them, and they'd seen me in a really positive state of mind and playing well. It brought the best wishes and regards from a lot of people, all the guys from the Bad Seeds, Polly Harvey, and a whole bunch of people, and they all wanted to come down and record with me in Hydra. And unfortunately, the little label went into financial difficulties. Serious difficulties, and that wasn't able to be fulfilled. So, even though I'd said The Hanged Man was not The Hanged Man, Learning to Die was going to be my last album, I was going to do that album in Hydra, and hit another downer and came back to Australia.
Right, explain the gap, because that previous album, a solo album in 2001, Learning to Die, and you said, of course, that you made a decision that it would be your last album because you felt no one was listening, and especially here in Australia, and your efforts and talent was falling on deaf ears. But something else, obviously there must have been some other things that happened between then and this album that truly turned things around in more ways than one. So was there a defining moment?
There was, and it seems to be these never-ending progressions of never say never again type of thing, but as I'd decided Learning to Die would be my last album, and then had got this boost after playing at the Small Music Theatre in Greece, and then saying I'll make another one, which is on the island of Hydra, I was suddenly yet was unable to do it, and
yes,
again in a tormented state, and also my health. I was basically exhausted. I was at my wit's end, and prepared to, many times I've been prepared to do anything to regain my health. But one thing that I'd never fully taken on board was the amount of time that it takes to recover. I'd often get treatment and then say, I'm okay now, I've got to start, picking up where I left off and race into it, and hadn't given myself the time. So I made a firm commitment, which I didn't follow through eventually, firm commitment not to leave Australia's shores until I'd done anything, if there was anything possible to help me through this. And I'd mentioned to a psychiatrist that I'd had ECT before, which stands for electroconvulsive therapy or shock treatment, but I'd found it a bit too grueling, and it had actually worked very effectively, but they'd ceased treatment before I'd run its full course. So this time I said, whatever it takes, just keep hammering me until something gives. And I persevered with that. The first episode of it was very difficult. These days, for anyone who suffers depression, that nothing will seem to shake, medication, any other form of treatment. I can strongly say, do not fear ECT, because unless you've got a weird constitution like me, which is because I've been on such heavy medication for so long, which were major tranquilizers, things like Lagactyl, and they rarely use them these days. And subsequently, I had a very high immunity to sedatives, tranquilizers, and I'd explain this to the anaesthetist, and I wasn't anaesthetized enough, and I was awake through the entire procedure, which was no good. But the muscle relaxant worked, and then I found I couldn't breathe, and it really scared the hell out of the doctors as well. But despite that unpleasant experience, that wasn't going to perturb me. I said, let's get the anaesthetics ordered and keep going, which they did, and I think I got something like 20 doses of what they call bilateral, which is right across the frontal lobe. And like most forms of treatment, like medication, there's a general rule of thumb that the more effective, the more side effects. And eventually this crippling depression broke. And it was just heaven on earth. And they'd said that because of the dose and being across the frontal lobe, which deals a lot with one's cognitive abilities, that there'll be, you know, quite a lot of memory loss, but it does pass. And I emphasise for anyone who's, you know, considering it to seriously consider it. And it does pass, but for me, I'd had such a large amount, it took a long time. And, you know, for a month or two afterwards, I was walking around bumping into people that I'd known all of my life. Uh-huh. And said, and it became a stock standard answer, I've had ECT, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
Oh, dear.
And yet it was still to have got through this this almighty burden that was weighing me down. It was well and truly worth it. And from there, I broke my promise to stay in Australia, stay put, do nothing until I'd sorted out my health. But again, I was feeling basically so much better after the ECT that I started to think, you know, twiddling my thumbs, I really need something to do. But no, I won't necessarily play music, won't go down that road again. And I had a friend who'd moved to Bangkok some years before. After that, you know, seemed to have this strange thing about going to Thailand or Bangkok. And I've never had any particular, you know, dreams to go there. Destiny just seems to take me over there. But he was a great friend who'd run one of the venues that I'd played at for years before in a band called Paris Screen. And he was over there as an academic, and I went over there to stay with him and embark on this particular project that never eventuated. And then there I was, out of the country. The thing that I'd planned to do wasn't happening yet again. And despite the ECT, I was basically on the precipice. Either I go down where I'd been before or something. And hence and I said, I'm going to make an album. And it was to basically to make it for the Greeks who had gone temporarily, sort of, if not bankrupt, but under, and it was sort of to present them with an album to help them out and also to help me. And I found myself in Bangkok and I just thought, right, I don't know any musicians. I said to my friend Steve, can you find me a studio and an engineer? And he said, yeah, I know this fellow called O, and I still to this day don't know any more about his surname. And then met up with O and wrote the album, recorded it with him, and it was truly the first album that I call a solo album, insofar as that every sound on the album I created, I played everything on it, and the result is what you see before you, or hear as you, if you put it on. And the title of the album, The Hanged Man, is from the tarot card, which I don't know a great deal about the tarot, but again, a lot of my albums seem to come back to it. The Hanged Man, in very simplistic terms, I understand it to mean someone who's on the precipice, needs to give up everything in the past, take a leap into the void, to move on to a new future.
Right, okay. So when you had the ECT, it would have been about 2002, 2003, would you
say?
Yeah,
it would have been...
Because 2001 was when Learning to Die came out.
It would have been early 2003 because it was in 2003 that I actually went to Bangkok, and it was also an album, playing everything myself, I was able to do it in small pieces rather than this frenetic 4 days in the studio, that's it. I was able to do a little piece, maybe 8 hours a week, and then build it up over many, many months, and by 2004 it was finished.
Right, okay. Because when the album came out in 2005, you've actually reached the ripe old age of 46. So where were you? You were obviously, your health-wise then was pretty good, yeah?
Yeah, it was. I'd managed to get rid of all of these heavy duty medications.
Because that's only 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, the doses of Largactyl that I was taking apparently a toxic dose is 800 milligrams, and I was up to 1100 or 1200, and I'd had a number of accidents prior to that. And, you know, going into a surgical ward, they ask you a bit of your history. They say, are you on regular medication? And I'd say, yeah, 1100 to 1200 milligrams of Largactyl. And they'd say, no, I think you've got your numbers wrong there. And I'd say, no, it's true. And they'd cross-check and say, wow.
Yeah.
And find it hard to believe. They'd say, you're up and wandering around happy, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. So I'd taken that burden away. Subsequently, this binge drinking, you know, ECT does not cure alcoholism. They've tried it with alcohol, but for me it treated the underlying cause. So alcohol left my life. I no longer I hated drinking. I really hated it, and it's not someone who enjoyed drinking and it then got out of control. I was always a very reluctant drinker, but you know, the lesser of the two evils. And so drinking became less of my life and then ceased to be part of my life at all. I was able to look at some interim medications that were way, way milder and then not have to take them every single day, but only, you know, if I started to slide, I was able to work a lot more on the mountains of therapy and psychology that I'd learnt, but even though it was going in, I wasn't able to put it into practice because I was too paralysed by those other symptoms. So health-wise, I was a lot better. Financially, the same as usual, broke. homeless, that was nothing new. And
Where were you homeless at?
I was homeless in Sydney.
Right.
Homeless in Sydney, yeah. and stayed there for quite some time. And actually, homeless is not quite right. I did manage to have a few couches that I could stay on.
Well, so you've been homeless a few times in your life, but we'll talk about that towards the end of our journey. Now, next week we'll be discussing the album Soliloquy, an album funded by the Australia Council of the Arts and released in 2006. So this will be week 10 in our 12-week journey of your life so far.
Yes, and it's hoping that we're starting to pick up to that happier ending, and again with these almost reverse meanings. I think this song that we're going to hear at the end called Teary Eyes.
Yes.
But they're tears of joy.
Yes. Mm. So, okay, well, that's about it. We are going to go up with the track Teary Eyes from your album The Hanged Man.
Thank you so much, Ari.
Thank you, Lewis. It's always fascinating, your journey. And, of course, I mean, there's so much more we could...
There is. I could only emphasise to people that... That we're just touching on,
yes,
on things here, and to be quite honest, a lot of it even to me sounds unbelievable, and you know, it's wonderful to have the opportunity to at least give a few little glimpses of what's been going
exactly
on.
Well, that's as you say, it's good just to have the opportunity, and you know we can hear your side of the story, whereas, you know, there's people everywhere, isn't there, that have got stories, but they don't always get to tell it. So
that's true, and I help it. I hope it helps people sort of put the music a little more into context, and you know, from criticisms in the past, not so much criticisms, rather comments, people saying, you know, prophet of gloom and misery, but. Again, I can't emphasise strongly enough that I don't consider myself a prophet of doom at all. Life has been difficult at times, but those moments of sunshine have been particularly spectacular and well worth it.
All right. Lewis Tillett, singer-songwriter, and this is Teary Eyes from the album The Hangman, and we'll see you same time next week, Lewis.
I look forward to it, Irene.
Lewis Tillett there, and the track was Teary Eyes from the album The Hanged Man, 2005. It's time now for...